Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hello, friends. We are back here today to talk with you about how astrology works, how the planets are absorbed into the body.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of go into the imaginative science of it, because a lot of it is visual. A lot of it is not going to make linear sense. And what we're also particularly doing is we're talking about how we feel and why we feel it works, and how and why we notice certain influences. So this is more, you know, of a theory energy. But I've thought about it for years and years and years, and have so many visuals of how it works, and notice so many synchronicities when, you know, that have led me to explore deeper, like kind of like figuring out, it's kind of like figuring out the secret to the universe is understanding this.
Yeah, it's a little abstract. It's not necessarily going to be something that is linear or logical, but it's sort of our personal take on how we feel.
And connected to the soul. This is like really soul level stuff. It's connected to like the essence of who you are. And it is hard to describe because it is more of a visual and etherical energy. It's literally talking about energy.
Right. So, do you want to kick this one off?
Sure. So one of the ways that I look at it or feel is when you're in the womb, conception. I'm going to start with conception. I don't necessarily know that what is happening with the planets matters as much as conception, except for the fact that the way that reflects on somebody could be their mood and could be like having things aligned. So when conception happens, it to me, what it looks like is, especially a conception that's, you know, maybe created from love or created from like a beautiful orgasm, is you are having that experience vibing with somebody and having them be like deeply inside you, depending on what kind of sex you're having. Yeah. And that energy of like the orgasmic release for a moment, it's like you like leave your body and you go and you like catch this stardust and you begin to pull it in. So like that's how I see the conception happening. It's like that energy is like pulling in stardust that comes from a spiritual place of an orgasm. Not in every situation. This is just one of the things that I visualize when it comes to astrology and when it comes to sex. Two things I think about like all the time.
Yep.
So then, you know, your essentially energy is, say, from the planets, it's the mom's astrology and what the mom is doing that maybe the fetus absorbs. But then when the, you know, the baby is pushed out, the cord is cut and it takes its first breath of air, it's like breathing in the stamp of the planets in that very first second you absorb the oxygen. So it's like all of a sudden you breathed into your root chakra, like the energy of Mars and what Mars was in. Mars being in Gemini, for those of you who are having babies in the next 7 months. And then you, like, the energy is, like, imprinted. Like, the planets are, like, imprinted in your chakras. It's just a stamp that kind of comes in with the air. And you begin to then sync up and go into synchronicity with the universe. Or the opposite of synchronicity. But the energy you always want to achieve when understanding and working towards astrology is to sync up, to go with the planets instead of try to resist them. So it is the ideal of astrology is to like really understand the universal energy, these planets and all of their stories, the myths and the energy of literally the universe and stardust and galaxies, you know, all coming down to make you human and to give you a personality collectively and universally based on these planets who have been here, you know, probably light years longer than we have.
Mm. That's beautiful. That's really poetic. I love that.
It's the Pisces imagination. Yeah. I, like, literally, I'm always, like, getting stoned and listening to music and floating down these thought holes.
Yeah.
Like, since I was a kid.
That's wonderful. Yeah, so I think that there are, that totally makes sense to me. And I wonder if there's some kind of, like, karmic signature that pulls a soul into a specific incarnation that matches up, that meshes up with the planetary structure at that time. So, for instance, a soul that needs to work out, you know, particular lessons that have to do with Mars and Gemini might come to be born during this time, you know, is pulled in and maybe attracted to the parents that match up with that karmic lesson, you know, which could be really great or it could be really bad, depending. And that doesn't mean that everyone, you know, who has a bad life has, like, negative karma or did something bad. Maybe they decided to take on a challenge. Maybe they are trying to level up their souls, or they were like, let me learn how to be a loving being even when there's no love around me, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, because that energy is super conscious. Mm-hmm. So you can have that without your body, with your soul.
Yeah.
And then go into a body and decide from that super conscious level to incarnate. And yeah, you kind of do pick your astrology.
Yeah, to an extent, I think so. And that's, you know, why I think it's probably not. So yeah, because at conception, I think it's less about, it's more about the parents' astrology than it is about the child as much. But like you said, once that's cut, then that's when the full thing, once the cord is cut, that's when the full picture kind of settles down. Yeah. On top.
Yeah, you're no longer, like, attached to your mother.
Yeah.
That cord cutting.
That's significant.
You know, yeah, it's significant and independent. And, like, it's almost like you kind of breathe in that God energy and trigger the blood flow on your own. That breath, you know, creates the blood flow, the heartbeat, the energy to all circulate on its own. And that's when the astrology can really begin to incorporate.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of different cultures and beliefs say that there's, like, this cord that connects the soul in the body to, like, the realms beyond. So, like, if you're astral projecting or you're, you know, leaving your body when you're sleeping, you can sometimes see that cord bringing you back to your body. And at death, at that moment, that cord is severed and you're able to float away from your body. It's almost like the opposite when the cord is cut from the mother. That's like bringing you into the world. And then when the etheric cord, the physical cord being cut, brings you into the physical body. And when the etheric cord is cut, it brings you out of the physical body.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's like plugging in and unplugging.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that energy is carried with you in your soul, like the energy of the planets at the time that you entered and took your first breath. And that's kind of creating this sort of harmony or disharmony depending on what's happening in the universe now. As you move through, everyone has their own sort of signature. I think of it, you said you think about it very visually. I think about it musically. I think about it as, like, each person has their tone, the planetary tone, and some of it's disharmonious. If you meet a person who maybe your planets don't mesh well with, there's almost like this dissonant chord that's formed between you. But when you're with somebody that you match well with, there's a harmony there. There's a beautiful sound that emanates. And it's the same thing as the planets move. They're creating this sort of music that's either feels good to you and sounds harmonious on some level in your soul, or it doesn't vibe with you. Because everything's energy, right? Everything's vibration. So that's how I think about it.
So do you hear it?
I mean, I more feel it, but I think I could, you know, that's kind of what, like, my tonal cosmology stuff was about, was trying to find a way to play that actual note based on the planets. But
yeah, that was fun. So Ash did this, Ash and a friend did this thing for a whole year where you looked up the most predominant transit of that day and you gave it a sound.
Yep.
And you put it for the whole three seasons of cardinal, mutable, and fixed, right?
Yes. Yeah. So there was a sound for each day of the year.
Yeah. And then I'll put it together for like a 90 minute album.
Yeah. It was like a musical calendar.
So one way that I see transits working is, so the natal chart is breathed in, it's stamped in your body. And the way that that looks visually to me is like a guitar where there's, you know, six strings going up the body. And those strings are attached to the planets. And when the planets do something, that aspect Ooh. To your physical body, it pulls one of the strings. And that's what activates the aspect or the transit. So Wow. again, that energy that's imprinted in you, there's like these invisible strings, and that's how transits work. The planets are still doing something. It is in your code. And then all of a sudden a planet makes this movement. And because you're a part of that energy, you know, that string is pulled. And it activates the, you know, the sound or the energy, and then you play out until the string, you know, stops buzzing. It vibrates until the transit is done. And I also sometimes see longer term transits as drums. Like Pluto is like this is a drum to me.
Deep.
It's like long, deep, you know, earthy, like underworld. Like I wouldn't refer to it as dissonant, but like, you know how when monks make that weirdo noise,
yeah, like that, the throat singing,
yeah,
almost?
The throat singing, yes, you know, that's what it sounds like to me, this okay. like, you know, yeah. this really weird sound that like makes you feel all this stuff in the core of your body, but is also like slow and lingering, and
that's really interesting to think about what each one sounds like, because would Neptune sound kind of like it's underwater, sort of like distant
yes.
and like beautiful, but like it's like mermaids yeah. singing underwater.
Yeah.
Like you can't quite hear it right, but it's like you're catching glimpses.
Yeah, totally. Because when I do, so when I do soul retrievals, before I meet with the person, I channel the ceremony. And what I do is I go into the water, the bathtub, and I put my ears under the water and go into sensory deprivation. And I usually put a stone on my heart and, you know, connect with my heartbeat being the drum to like go in and hear that noise. Because when you journey, you, if there's like a megahertz, it's called the drumming that releases the, beta waves.
Yeah.
The
okay.
alpha waves. Like yep. I just got to bring myself to do that. And my heartbeat and under the water will do that. That, like, you know, drowned out kind of
yeah
tone. And then I, this so ties into everything we're talking about. So I do that. And then I go, I need to go find the person's soul. So I just imagine that feeling of like having an eagle on a cord, and the eagle flies out of me, and it's an eye. And then I see whatever it is I'm doing the magic for, which goes in the form of a ceremony, but I'll see it as a weathering pattern. So I kind of like become this eagle attached to this cord that's pretty much just an eyeball that sees the scene of the soul that I need to retrieve and what kind of ceremony they would do to, you know, help bring them healing, because we have to do it together. So, and then I come back in. I'm on the cord, so I come back in and I remember it. So I go into this like really relaxed state. I energetically and intentionally fly out. That's the part of myself that flies out when I dream, still attached. I see the scene, which is a weather pattern, which is very elemental and very astrological. You know, there's the earth, wind, fire, water. I figure out what, you know, what part needs to be retrieved and you know, what part will kind of help bring balance to these. So if somebody really disassociates, I might see a lot of earth or heavy rocks, or they have to go do this thing 30 days before I even meet with them to get in touch with this part of them that has been vibrating in space for the past fucking 20 years.
Wow.
So
when you see the rocks, does that mean they need more of the earth energy, or
usually yes.
So what yeah. you're seeing for the weather is what they need.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's like their essence. So the way a person's soul looks to me is like a weather pattern.
Okay.
You know.
So yeah, if they're needing more grounding and stability. If you're seeing the boulders and the rocks.
Yeah, because maybe a piece of their soul is like somewhere else, and like,
this is fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
I could
it's
listen
fun.
To you
it's
talk about this for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do. It's the funnest because it's like magic, like the ritual part after that channeling happens, and then going to do the ritual with this person. I don't know, like, how to say this, like, it's never been wrong, It's never failed me. It's always accurate as fuck, where I'm like, geez, I just fucking jumped a timeline and went into this other world. And then explaining the process is probably the weirdest part, because it is like natural and it is fun. And for me, it's like normal and,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, it was easy. You know, sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to leave my body. And when I actually do the ceremony, I never do them by myself. I always have an assistant. And part of the assistant's job is to hold my feet and make sure I fucking come back to my body.
Yeah.
So I don't mess around with it either. But it's like when me telling you this, I now feel like I'm like explaining a science fiction movie.
Well, I'm not taking it that way. To me, this is perfectly normal, but just beautiful and interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
weird. It's like normal for us.
I know,
we're
right?
Like, you know, astrology aliens.
Yeah.
But, like, very weird kind of explain.
Yeah. Well, I think this episode is more abstract, so it makes perfect sense in this context. Yeah, that's so interesting. Do you find that when you're doing the shamanic work and you're seeing those sort of weather patterns, is there often an astrological relation?
Yes. Oh, so, sorry. The very first thing I do before I do any work on somebody is right after the deposit is made, I look at their astrology chart.
Yeah.
And that kicks the whole thing off. So I always have the person's astrology chart, because that can also help me see where they're fragmented, or what could, you know, how are they stuck inside them's body, or did they fly out?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, somebody with super heavy Taurus might be hiding inside themselves.
That's so interesting.
And the moon is another thing we should talk about. The moon is very relevant, I think, to this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the moon is probably the most obvious in the way that it affects us here on Earth, because it's so tied into water, and us being primarily water, I feel we are all sort of at the whim of the moon.
Yeah, and even noticing, for those of you who are astrologers or really pay attention to the moon cycle, you know, you could get to the point where you just are like, oh, just went into Cancer. You know,
yeah.
Like, you can literally feel it or know that it's doing something when you're sitting there, like, even keeled, and you plummet into a mood with no trigger.
Like, the moon's void of course right now. Do you feel it?
Yeah, I forgot you were coming over.
Yeah, I just showed up and you're like, oh, yeah. I know. I feel it too. It's going to go into Sagittarius later today as we're recording this, and I feel like I'm going to notice that, because that's my moon sign.
Yeah.
I always feel it when it goes into my moon sign.
Yeah.
But usually for anything else, I mean,
poof. You're dressed for it already.
Yeah.
You like are very prepared.
Yes.
For the Sag. That's like rock star.
Thanks. Yeah.
I actually had my black jeans on earlier too, and I was so excited when I broke them out to like get on the horse. I like didn't want to go to horseback class, and then I put my black jeans on and I felt like a punk rocker, and I was like so ready. I went and I twerked for the cats, and I was like in the best mood after those jeans.
That's amazing. That's, to me, that makes so much sense on a day when the moon's going from Scorpio to Sag. It's such like that energy of like feeling yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, dancing in front of the mirror wearing your like ripped black jeans. Like, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I was like twerking. I was twerking for the cats. Oliver was listening to rap, and I was like just trying to figure out like how to do it from the ground. You know, I was like bending over and just doing it from my hips. That's how I was thought. It was really fun.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So yeah, the moon possesses you.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, I mean, even people that aren't sensitive to astrology, I feel like they pick up on the moon. When the moon's full, you know, the ER is usually full. There's more crime. There's more moodiness. When the moon is new, people are less likely to want to socially engage with each other. There's just, it's very obvious. Once you're aware and following the cycle, you see it every day.
Yeah. 911 hears it every day.
Yeah. I know. I wonder if they pay attention. Like, oh, the moon's going to be full this week. Better send more staff.
Oh, yeah. I just, that you talk to anybody in dispatch.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, the moon is full.
Yeah, well, send us in some topics. We want to talk about what you want to talk about. What you want us to talk about.
All right, until next time.
Bye.
for listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast. Email us, piscesrisingpodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.